What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, July 23rd, 2021. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We have a lot to talk about today. In fact, I got a lot of news items in the talking points. I'm probably not going to get through all of them before we open up the phone lines, but we will do our best. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, and taking care of business otherwise. People are still talking about that CNN town hall with Joe Biden. The one where he went off kind of rambling and not really making a lot of sense, not much linearity in his response to a question about vaccines for under 12 years old. And it turns out that, Joe Biden kind of lucked out because hardly anybody was watching. They got the lowest viewership of the night, lower than the regular Fox News broadcast. But, of course, you know, he totally got 81 million votes. All right. Now, Biden has nominated the wives of three key political allies, including the widows of John McCain and Ted Kennedy, to coveted diplomatic positions in Europe. So the idea that there is any meritocracy left in our government should be discarded as a concept. It's all cronyism and favoritism and, you know, who's sleeping with who. And normally top donors get those diplomatic posts, but he's just handing them out, you know, to friends of the family, as it were. And the culture of corruption is going on. Jeff Ricchetti is a brother of a top staff member of the Biden administration. He has now secured a very lucrative contract lobbying the White House on issues related to China on behalf of General Motors. And Jeff Ricchetti is a longtime swamp creature in Washington, D.C., and he is brother of White House counselor to the president, Steve Ricchetti. And so, you know, keeping it all in the family here. Let's get into election fraud. There's a lot happening there. It has been announced that the Arizona audit recount will finish next week. And we don't know how long after that it will take for the final report to come on out. But we are nearing the end of that. And we're already seeing the paid trolls all over social media saying Biden won, get used to it. You know, the audits are destroying the integrity of the election system. No, actually, the vote riggers destroyed the integrity of the election system. And if they want to restore trust in the election system, then all 50 states should be audited for last November's election to verify the results were honest. But instead, of course, the Democrats are fighting tooth and nail and pulling every slimy little legal trick they can to try and block it everywhere that they can, which is only underscoring in the minds of America that something very sneaky did, in fact, happen last November during the election. State Senator Wendy Rogers from Arizona was on the War Room saying, "We are leading the charge here in Arizona to say decertification should happen." And absolutely, if it turns out that the Arizona election was being misreported, to put it delicately there, it should be decertified and recertified in favor of Trump. Now, there was a poll done by OH Insights, and it is showing that most Arizona Republicans do believe the audit will show that Trump won the state of Arizona. The independents were kind of split 50-50. The Democrats, of course, were in goose step saying Biden won, Biden won, Biden won. Biden, Biden, Uber Alice. Anyway, up in Pennsylvania, the one of the Pennsylvania counties targeted in a lawmaker's forensic investigation into the 2020 election has been forced to beef up security around their courthouse following threatening posts on social media. And Facebook posts, which Facebook apparently had no problem with, they left them up there. They targeted members of Tioga County's all-Republican Board of Commissioners after they decided not to comply with the lawmakers' request to turn over their voting machines. So it's getting a little bit intense out there. As you're aware, 74,000 absentee ballots were counted in Arizona, for which there is no record of them actually being sent out. And now questions are being asked about Georgia's absentee ballots. They mailed out 7 million absentee ballot request forms. Somebody is saying, how many absentee ballots were mailed out? How many were returned to the state? How many have the proper chain of custody for that election? But it's a mess. It is an absolute mess. The system is designed to enable fraud and to conceal it from the public. And we need a new election system that makes fraud very hard to commit and very easy to spot. And again, if you go over to whatreallyhappened.com, on the main page, right underneath that hideously outdated photo of yours truly, there is an article with my suggestion how we could have honest elections in this country. And ever since I wrote that, I've gotten emails from other countries saying this is basically how we do it here, and it works out very well. So there definitely needs to be a change, because everything, as I was telling Tom in Florida the other day, all the other problems in this country will not be solved until we are guaranteed to have honest and fair elections. Immigration's not going to get solved. The economy's not going to get solved. Nothing will change because the government loves things the way they are, where they can go on being how they are and not have to worry anymore about the wrath of angry voters. So I'm sure they're calling it the Great Emancipation for the political class, but it does have to be fixed. And it's going to have to be the first thing that gets fixed before we're able to fix anything else. Okay, now, we mentioned this the other day. The Elections Assistant Commission made a change to their policy saying it is now okay for voting machines to connect to the Internet. It used to be that voting machines were forbidden from connecting to the Internet. It was discovered that in November 2020, a lot of the election machines in a lot of the states did, in fact, have Internet connections, and that's a big problem. So the Elections Assistant Commission very quietly, or they thought it was quietly, tried to change the rules to say, well, yeah, it's okay for election machines to be plugged into the Internet. Well, they are now being sued for this change to the rules here, and as well they should. Those election machines should definitely not be connected to the Internet. We have seen in recent months how out of control cybercrime and hacking has become, and it's a point of vulnerability to rig elections, and it needs to be plugged back up. All right, Hunter Biden is out there with his gallery showings to sell his $500,000 paintings to anonymous buyers. He is going to appear at a small event in Los Angeles and a larger showing in New York City to present his creations, many of which kind of look like the tiles on the floor behind the toilet in my bathroom, but it's not like I was ever an art critic to begin with here. Interestingly enough, Hunter Biden's art dealer, George Berger, has in the past been sued for fraud and breach of contract. This was back in 2016. He was sued by an investor in the gallery. And the lawsuit alleged that Ingrid Arneberg, an artist herself, had invested $500,000 for the purpose of gallery expansion and Burgess instead deposited into his personal bank account to cover expenses. The lawsuit was settled in 2018. The terms were not disclosed. And that is not the only incident in which Hunter Biden's art dealer has been involved. And it further raises suspicion that this whole brand new art career of Hunter Biden is just a scam to sell influence and somehow make it look like it's perfectly okay. Now, one thing that, you know, is probably going to happen, these anonymous buyers are going to buy these paintings for $500,000 and secure connection to the Biden administration. Then they'll turn around and you know, donate them to a museum someplace and take that $500,000 or even more if they can get it appraised higher, you know, off their taxes. So it's not like it's really money out of their pocket to begin with. It's money out of your pocket if you think about it. Getting on back to the January 6th protest at the Capitol building, remember the QAnon shaman, the guy with the furs and the horns and, you know, the face paint and everything? He is reportedly negotiating a plea deal after the prison psychologist diagnosed him with transient schizophrenia, bipolar depression, and anxiety. Oh, poor boy, poor boy. He's mentally ill, so, you know, we're going to let him, you know, off with a wrist slap probably here. Now, there's an interesting twist to January 6th because Representative Jim Jordan is accusing Nancy Pelosi of allowing the protesters into the Capitol, saying that it was her responsibility as Speaker of the House to have a proper security presence in place. And again, in the context that this was deliberately set up to demonize Trump supporters, then, of course, security would have been told to stand down. So Jordan is out there saying, why wasn't there better security, you know, knowing what was coming here? Now, meanwhile, as crime skyrockets across the nation, George Soros has donated $1 million to an organization that supports defunding the police. In other words, for some reason, George Soros wants crime to increase across the country. Now, the agenda may be to try and lay the groundwork for a national police force in order to take policing away from the cities and the states. You know, it'll be, you know, the Washington police or the national police or the U.S. police force, who will be answerable to nobody but Washington, D.C., and I see this as a very, very bad idea. Now, do you remember Kim Gardner? She was the left-wing attorney in Missouri who just tried to throw the book at the McCloskeys for defending their home from a Black Lives Matter mob. Well, there was a case against a guy for murder, a black defendant, it should be said, and Kim Gardner didn't show up. It was a no-show. Didn't send anybody from her office, and the judge was forced to let the killer go. No, it's really getting crazy out there. All right, let's get into COVID-19. There's a lot happening there. Restaurants in Los Angeles are closing, and Biden is considering a new mask mandate. They're hemming and hawing about it right now, saying that children may be required or may wear masks when they go back to school. But you remember down in Guantanamo, you know, all those captured prisoners, they were all forced to wear face masks as a form of torture. So that's what they're doing to our kids. Meanwhile, Fauci is out there just screaming and yelling about Rand Paul. He is demanding more censorship in the name of fighting the pandemic. And, of course, he's got the Biden administration on his side. They are ordering Facebook to censor some people's speech. And, you know, Fauci was out there saying we would probably still have polio in this country if we had the kind of false information being spread now. Fauci, of course, is lying about that. The polio vaccine was the subject of numerous controversies, which played out in the public. Now, there were anti-vaccine campaigns long before Facebook The most bracing of these took on the polio vaccine with the headline, Little White Coffins, declaring only God above will know how many thousands of little white coffins will be used to bury the victims of Salk's heinous fraudulent vaccine. And then, of course, we had that 1976 debacle, which is harming the trust and confidence of people in the medical industrial complex. And I saw a show earlier on One American News Network where they're blaming black vaccine hesitancy on the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. And yeah, when you go back and you look at what was done to those people in that experiment, you can understand why maybe black people are a little leery of those needles there. So, a lot of reasons not to trust the government here. I mean, you know, the same people telling you the vaccines are safe and effective are the same ones who told you Saddam had nuclear weapons. So start with there, and we'll move forward from that. And now, over in the White House, everybody there is vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and yet they're coming down with COVID-19. And at this point, Jen Psaki is refusing to disclose how many of the White House staff have come down with these so-called breakthrough cases. And that is becoming an area of concern. Over in Stanford University, they're reporting 7 COVID-19 cases among students who were fully vaccinated. And the university said they were all symptomatic and they all tested positive. And they're very concerned. Now, there are reports of breakthrough COVID-19 cases coming out all over. They are alarming medical experts and world governments. And it basically is undermining the fact that the vaccines, for all their negative side effects, are not proving to be effective against COVID-19. Los Angeles County Public Health Director Barbara Ferrer announced yesterday that 20% of new COVID-19 cases identified in Los Angeles County were in vaccinated individuals. Now, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson came out with an extraordinary statement saying that 84% of new COVID cases are happening in those that are fully vaccinated. And that is a scary, scary number. Over in Cambridge, pardon me, they're seeing a 42% breakthrough COVID cases, and they're urging residents to go back to wearing masks and social distancing. And so it's an area, there's a concern there. Over in Tennessee, Shelby County has 458 cases of COVID-19 in vaccinated people. And overall, for the entire state, the Tennessee Department of Health reported more than 1,000 breakthrough cases. Of those cases, 27 people have died. So I think we can safely say that the U.S. government and the pharmaceutical industry, and certainly Dr. Anthony Fauci, have thoroughly screwed the pooch on this one. They have horribly mismanaged this. Meanwhile, they're talking about soaring COVID infections rates in the country. Most of them are concentrated in just 3 states. Florida, Missouri, and Texas now account for 40% of all new coronavirus cases in the United States. Florida alone accounted for 20% of those. And you have to wonder how many illegal immigrants have poured into those states. Okay, just something to kind of keep in mind. I mean, the U.S. government, you know, is putting out all of these restrictions on Americans traveling abroad, and yet that southern border is still wide, wide open. All right, over at Investment Watch blog, they're reporting on a new study showing that the COVID lockdowns led to 5 times more suicides among children than actually died of the virus. Okay, so the lockdowns actually killed more children than COVID-19 did. So, again, bad, you know, bad idea here. So the big debate, oh, my goodness, how time flies. We're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to the show, and this is the part of the program where I remind everybody that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your continuing support to go on getting the facts out to the American people amidst this tidal wave of lies, fraud, and deception that we are being subjected to by governments, corporate media, and large corporations. And again, a heartfelt thanks to those of you who are keeping us on the air. So once again, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now, if you send in a donation of $100, you will get your choice of an official RBN coffee mug or an official RBN t-shirt, so include your t-shirt size and a return address. If you send in $115, that's 115, you will get both the mug and the t-shirt. So that's a real good deal, and you can show your support for the network there. All righty, we're talking about coronavirus, and there is a raging debate, which is basically being ignored by most of the corporate media. Was U.S. money used to fund this very risky gain-of-function research in China? And the debate is centered on research carried out on bat viruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, Rand Paul is saying that U.S. money was used to fund this research. Dr. Anthony Fauci is saying absolutely not. And Fauci is just screaming and raging about it, but he really can't sue because there is that video of Fauci supporting and encouraging gain-of-function research, in the past. Over in Paris, protesters have gathered near the Senate building, continuing their protest against the COVID-19 passes and other restrictions. And yes, it does include members of the Yellow Vest Movement. Over in Italy, there's a massive protest against the mandated health pass that will restrict the unvaccinated from many activities. So it's part of the coercive nature of getting us all to take these dangerous and really untested experimental gene therapies. Now, the pandemic fueled an exodus from New York. More than 33,000 New Yorkers packed up and moved to Florida to get away from the pandemic. And a lot of them are down there saying, we're going to stay here. The weather is certainly a lot better. There are looser COVID-19 restrictions and the taxes are lower. So there is definitely a depopulation of New York going on right now. This next story is very, very disturbing. Up in Quebec, a nurse has testified that in accordance with provincial health department directives, her long-term care home administered morphine to coronavirus patients instead of caring for them to prolong their lives. In other words, they were being euthanized. And she explained the nursing home staff were instructed to give the residents thought to have COVID-19 a, quote, respiratory distress protocol, end quote, that included morphine, the sedative Ativan, and the anti-nausea drug scopolamine. And she said, basically, I had never seen deaths happen so quickly. Okay. Let's see. In other medical news here, it's not just COVID-19. Over in Colorado, they are dealing with the plague, and a 10-year-old girl has died. This is the first death from the plague since 2015, but they are looking at six Colorado counties, and if that wasn't bad enough, there is now a superbug fungus that is drug resistant. It was found spreading in two hospitals in Dallas and a nursing home in Washington, D.C., and a number of other places around the country, including, unfortunately, here in Indiana. And the CDC is saying this fungus is considered a serious global health threat. So let's see. We have, pestilence. We're coming up on a famine. All we need now are the locusts to show up. Now, China has had 11 African swine fever outbreaks this year. It has absolutely decimated their pork industry, and the Chinese are really big on pork. And they've had these multiple outbreaks, and it has forced China to basically start importing protein to keep their population fed. And meat imports for the first quarter of 2021 were up 21% over the same period last year. So what a terrible thing African swine fever is. Well, there's this interesting article we linked to whatreallyhappened.com. And this is coming from Covert Action Magazine, saying that evidence has... Well, I'll finish this when we come back from these commercials.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And welcome back to our show here. We're still talking about medical issues, diseases. We've been talking about African swine fever, which has really hit China hard. They've had 11 separate outbreaks of it, and it's had major economic consequences. And as sort of a postscript to that is this article out of Covert Action magazine. And back in 1971, Cuba was hit with African swine fever, but evidence subsequently surfaced that the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency backing anti-Castro terrorists introduced the African swine fever virus into Cuba. And 6 weeks later, they had to slaughter 500,000 pigs to prevent a nationwide epidemic. So when you look at all those outbreaks up there in China, and you scratch your head and you go, And, of course, those recent massive floods in China have also further destroyed their agrarian economy as well. So, you know, like I said, famine and pestilence, all we need are the locusts now. This story just now came on in. A federal court today ruled that the U.S. Centers for the Disease and Control of Prevention overstepped its authority with its eviction moratorium, that it was completely and totally unlawful. The Cincinnati-based U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously agreed with a lower court ruling that said the CDC engaged in federal overreach with the eviction moratorium, which the agency has consistently extended for months, which just kicked the can down the road until you can no longer recognize it as a can. The current moratorium expires in just about another week, and the Treasury supposedly is setting aside $1.5 billion for rent relief for the lowest income families. That's not going to help the middle class at all. And there are going to be a lot of suddenly homeless people when that moratorium expires. And following that, with all the immediately available homes and rental properties on the market, real estate prices are probably going to plummet. So they really made a heck of a mess here. Somebody's got to do something about it, or there will be riots in the streets. All right, over in Afghanistan, the Taliban is now claiming it controls nearly 90% of Afghanistan's border areas, including the borders with Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and Iran. The Afghan forces are currently involved in an intense fight with the Taliban to retake the entire Spin Boldak district at the Pakistan border. More than 100 residents of Afghanistan's Spin Boldak were dragged out and executed by the Taliban on accusations of being civilian government sympathizers. So payback is going to be nasty. Meanwhile, the United States has launched several airstrikes in Afghanistan against the Taliban. The Pentagon announced this yesterday. The airstrikes were carried out in support of the Afghan government, which has been losing significant ground to the Taliban since the U.S. started pulling their troops out back in May. And you would think they would learn from history, because if there's one lesson that the United States should have retained from the war in Vietnam, is that you cannot win a ground war from the air exclusively. And I think it's only a matter of time before the Taliban does, in fact, regain control of their country. Okay. All right, down to Cuba. Biden has now sanctioned the Cuban government for their reaction to the anti-government protests. He says it's just the beginning, and he hit sanctions on a Cuban official and a government entity in response to the anti-government protests that took place on July 11th. The sanctions targeted the Cuban defense minister and the National Special Brigade of Cuba's Interior Ministry, which all really sounds good until you realize that the United States has already sanctioned the entire country of Cuba with that decades-long embargo. So it may make for good press and, a lot of speechification by the politicians, but it's not really going to have much of an effect. Meanwhile, that flotilla that was planned to go from Florida to take emergency supplies to Cuba, hardly anybody turned out for that one. So that one kind of fizzled. And, of course, we had that U.S. Department of Homeland Security issued a warning that this was a bad thing you should not do. Now, interestingly enough, a Washington Post reporter acknowledged to Ben Zeisloft at the Daily Wire that the reason why Democrats are silent over Cuba is they agree with many of their policies. And it is a reminder that the current mutation of the Democratic Party are, in fact, socialists. And they think Cuba is a very cool way to run a country. Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, Cubans are actually leading the fight against socialism in this country. And let's see, Republican Representative Maria Salazar is basically presenting a bill with 190 co-sponsors to condemn socialism and remind U.S. citizens why the doctrine is dangerous and patently anti-American. So keep that in mind when you have the liberal Democrats out there saying, oh, no, socialism is going to be good. We're going to, you know, everything will be free, except you, of course. All righty. Over in Haiti, the violence is continuing. Supporters of the assassinated President Moïse fired at police and blocked roads, interfering with his funeral. They blocked the roads with blazing tires. They fired on the police with guns. And so that is really a huge mess. Now, interestingly enough, the Pentagon is admitting that it trained seven of the Haiti president's assassins, but denies encouraging the assassination. You know, I mean, just because we taught them how to make bombs doesn't mean we thought they ever really would, I guess is the thinking over there. But yeah, the Pentagon trained those assassins and obviously trained them very well. Meanwhile, China is getting into the sanctions game. China's foreign ministry announced new sanctions on seven Americans today, including former U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, in retaliation for the U.S. sanctions on seven Chinese officials last week. And let's see, Chinese foreign ministry's spokesperson Zhao Yuzhan confirmed the sanctions against Ross, along with Chairman Carolyn Bartholomew, former Director Jonathan Stavers, Hyung-Mo Kim, Sophie Richardson, and the Hong Kong's Democracy Council. So everybody's starting to play the sanctions game. Here a sanction, there a sanction, everywhere a sanction. As we reported earlier in the week, Great Britain sent two warships to Japan to be permanently on station to patrol Asian waters. This, of course, prompted a response from China, and their foreign ministry spokesperson, Zhao Yuzhan, said in the wake of the announcement that Beijing firmly opposes the practice of flexing muscles at China. And so, again, provocation, you know, poke the dragon, poke the bear, and hope it all turns out well in the end. Now, in Great Britain, little bit of a good news. We have been reporting about how the government was floating a plan to prosecute journalists who wrote articles embarrassing to the government by charging them under the Official Secrets Act and threatening them with 14-year jail terms. Well, the outcry against that has been ferocious, and they're now backing down from that idea. Okay. Interfax Ukraine reported that the Danish ambassador to Ukraine paid a two-day visit to the front line of the host country's war in the Donbass region. Basically, we're seeing these ambassadors of NATO countries inspecting the Ukrainian armed forces at the front line. Are they trying to decide if it's worth getting involved in the war? It's not something ambassadors normally do. Meanwhile, Russian troops have arrived in Belarus in preparation for the Zapad 2021 strategic drills. The first Russian military train carrying troops and equipment arrived in Brest in preparation for the strategic maneuvers. And they're saying the troops are in a good mood. They traveled less than 24 hours. There were no problems. And they're getting their equipment out, and they're going to go play war out there in the Belarusian hinterland, as it were. All right. On Wednesday, the U.S. and Germany published a joint statement saying they had agreed to the completion of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline project. And this will, of course, allow Russia to send gas to Europe without going through Ukraine, although basically Ukraine is very upset about that. And Kiev is saying they've lost status in terms of their involvement discussing issues related to the project. And so that may get very interesting. Meanwhile, Belarus President Lukashenko said on an interview with the Arab-speaking TV channel Sky News Arabia that European politicians are taking the world closer to World War III. And I would certainly say that the United States seems to be taking part in that high-pressure campaign as well. All right. We're starting to hear chatter that the America is going to pull their troops out of Iraq. And top U.S. and Iraqi officials are expected to issue an announcement in the following days that will say the American troops will be out of Iraq by the end of 2021. Now, remember, we mentioned that there was going to be a high-level meeting between Biden and a top Iraqi official, and that Iraqi official was going to say, get them out of here, and it looks like Iraq carried the day because the word is that American troops will be out of Iraq by the end of 2021. And again, like Afghanistan, think about all that money that was spent there and all those American and other lives that were lost there, the torture prisons, and all because of this lie that Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons. Anyway, now Iran has done something rather clever. They have opened its first oil terminal in the Gulf of Oman in order to not have to deal with the strategic Strait of Hormuz that everybody's getting ready to fight over, you know, to strangle the supply of oil. And Iran said, well, no, we're just going to open up a new terminal out in the Gulf of Oman so you don't have to worry about the Strait of Hormuz anymore. So the new terminal is located near Jaskport on the Gulf of Oman. It is south of the Strait of Hormuz, allowing ships headed into the Arabian Sea and beyond to avoid the Strait of Hormuz. And so that was a very good thing for them to do. All right, the Mossad is reportedly planning expanded strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities. Now, this is coming out of the New York-based Al Jazeera newspaper. This is a Jewish publication focused on American and Israel-related news, and they have issued a detailed report unveiling Israeli intelligence contingency plans to ramp up sabotage efforts against Iran's nuclear facilities, while the Vienna negotiations remain stalled. In other words, if Iran doesn't return to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, with the U.S. sanctions intact, then Israel is going to go on in and start blowing things up, scattering radiation all over the place and obviously not caring about the harm that will cause to the civilian non-combatant population. Overnight, Israeli warplanes carried out an attack against Syria's Al-Qusayr, and they, as they usually do, they attack Syria from Lebanese airspace. Lebanon is planning to lodge an official complaint about that to the United Nations. And beyond that, Israel appears to have hit several villages in northern Lebanon as well, with locals reporting blasts in several areas during the night. One of the biggest hit the village of Lefed, creating a 15-meter crater. Meanwhile, there was another attack in Syria's homes. This one was completely thwarted. Israeli warplanes fired four missiles at Homs early yesterday, and all four were shot down using the Russian-made Buk air defense systems. Two Israeli F-16 jets fired the guided missiles again from Lebanon, and all four missiles were destroyed by the on-duty air defense units. So that's good for them there. Again, in Israel, you know, bad news for those who thought justice was a real thing in this world. The High Court of Justice in Israel ruled yesterday against three petitions demanding the establishment of a state commission of inquiry into the so-called submarine affair. This is that massive corruption case that has ensnared a number of close associates of Netanyahu, but not Netanyahu himself. So it looks like he's about to skate free on that one as well. All righty. The Ben and Jerry's situation continues to attract a lot of attention, and it's raising the specter of U.S. government officials and politicians attacking an American company on behalf of a foreign government. And if you had any doubt that Israel has our politicians by the short and curlies, that should end it. And everybody's wondering, why is Israel just, you know, going to the mattresses over Ben and Jerry's? Are they really that thin-skinned? No, they think Ben and Jerry's might trigger other companies to shut down in the occupied territories, and they want to make an example of Ben and Jerry's. So go to the store and shop up for Ben and Jerry's ice cream. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone, and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together instead of on a computer alone.
Welcome back to our show here, and down in South Africa, the death toll from the rioting now stands officially at 337, and so the violence is continuing there. It's like the whole world is standing up and rioting and protesting, and perhaps they should. I said a while back that this push for a global government could create the political environment for a global revolution. And that may, in fact, be happening. Getting to the economic news here, the jobless claims skyrocket, jumped 51,000 in just 1 week. I was watching on OAN, and they were saying this was a real surprise. The experts were saying Biden's recovery was on track, and the jobless claims would go down. That certainly was not accurate at all. A lot of people, business people, are talking about the great resignation of 2021, and it's a growing movement of people who are basically getting ready to just quit their jobs because they don't want to go back to cubicles. They got used to not working. They understand the harder they work, the more they'll be taxed, and so, why bother with that? It's all over TikTok and Reddit talking about the great resignation. So, anyway. Restaurant owners are furious with President Biden for telling them that they have to raise wages to attract staff, which actually, Biden, we have to give him credit, he's correct on that one. But the restaurant owners are saying the move will drive inflation, drive them out of business, and it shows how little he understands about the country's labor crisis. Their rallying cry is, do you want to pay $50 for a hamburger? Looking at McDonald's, in other countries, McDonald's employees are much better paid. They get benefits, and the price of the McDonald's food is pretty much the same thing it is here in the United States. What's the difference? Well, high taxation for one, and huge profit taking by the top executives, which is really out of control in this country. It's very unusual. When you look at a Japanese company, the top CEO may make like two or three times the average salary of the regular employees. Here in the United States, it's like the CEOs are making thousands and thousands of times what the ordinary workers are doing. And, that's that wealth inequality, that disparity, that's destabilizing our whole economy. U.S. existing home sales rose 1.4% month over month in March, but median prices are soaring 23.4% year over year with a small increase in inventory, basically saying, where have all the affordable houses gone? And to me, this almost feels like a repeat of the 2008 mortgage-backed security meltdown that was preceded by a huge real estate bubble that got everybody saying, oh, I'm going to be a millionaire just flipping houses. We got to take a break for station identification. We'll be back soon.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.